With nanotechnology, engineers manipulate atomic-sized particles to create tiny machines. They'll be able to create, for example, toothpaste filled with nanoparticles that repair damaged teeth or pills that are really tiny pacemakers. Although still a young technology, the National Science Foundation forecasts the U.S. market will be $1 trillion by 2016. Yet this promise may never be fulfilled, but not for lack of technological know-how or resources. The U.S. government alone will pour $3.7 billion into nanotech over the next 4 years. But to really thrive, a technology needs more than a scientific side. It must fit into our world socially and legally. For nanotech, storm clouds already loom on the horizon. For example, Britain's Prince Charles suggested that nanotechnology could be a disaster like thalidomide, the drug that caused grotesque birth defects in the 1960s. His remarks signal to the nanotech community the work yet to be done in creating a public receptive to their technology. I suggest they look carefully at two negative role models, biotechnology and nuclear power. Neither industry conveyed to the public the benefits of their product, nor did they listen to public concerns. In the absence of intelligent dialogue, heightened concerns grew over the risk, nearly crippling both industries. Better public engagement could have prevented this backlash, because the public isn't going to accept any technology where there haven't been detailed studies of risks and benefits. Right now, the lack of information about nanotechnology invites alarmist scenarios. The nanotech industry needs to educate the public about what exactly nanotech is, and it needs to listen carefully to public concerns. And there are other ways nanotech needs to fit into our world before being fully accepted. Consider legal and regulatory aspects. The EPA is deciding whether to regulate nanomaterials under the Toxic Substances Control Act or to classify them as naturally occurring ultra-fine materials, the same as dust, forest fire smoke, volcanic ash, bacteria, and viruses. And patent examiners are grappling with nanotech. If you use nano methods to make a tiny motor, is that legally any different than a full-size motor? In the past, a simple change in size hasn't been patentable absent some other utility or novelty that comes from miniaturization. To researchers who enjoy conquering the technological problems of creating a nanotech world, these social, legal, and regulatory concerns may seem like dull things. Yet some fraction of the nearly $4 billion being invested in nanotech needs to be used to answer these questions. If not, then these tiny, nano-sized machines will bite back big time.